Well, hello, this is Angela, and you're listening to my podcast, Springs of Zion. Thank you for following me, and thank you for being such dedicated listeners. I really appreciate each and every one of you. It encourages me to go on. And as you know, in any job of service for the Lord, we often want to quit, don't we? And last week, Sea Monster, I have a new revelation for you. So as we get started here, I want to share first, this journey is amazing with God. The things he's doing and the things I'm hearing about among you guys is literally life-changing. It's exciting. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 17. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. When we move with the Spirit of God, people notice. Non-believers, believers, people take notice. When we are, our conduct is of God and the will of God, people notice. So when we're willing to move and listen to the voice of God, we become sojourners, willing to stay temporarily and ready to move at any moment. I've often said I felt like a gypsy, when actually the biblical term is sojourner, because my husband and I, we move every 9 years. It's funny, but that's for another podcast. Sojourners follow Jesus very closely. And they can be found traveling with other people of different faith traditions. So don't be surprised. I mean, one of my very good friends is a Catholic, and I'm a Pentecostal Christian. It's okay. We both have the Spirit of God because we're on a spiritual journey. And guess what? Jesus said his church is not in a building, right? His church is the body, and Jesus is the head. This is the ecclesia that is God is raising up. Did you hear what I said? We're not bound to man's religious systems. It's okay if you start in one. It's okay if you enjoy your religious system, as long as you're honoring God and his son Jesus, right? We are all part of Jesus. He's in us. We abide in him, and he in us. He's the head and we're the body. I say this over and over again, so I'm sorry if you're getting tired of hearing it, but we all who seek the love of God and surrender our life and have gone to the cross with Jesus, we've crucified our flesh, are filled with the Holy Spirit. Sojourners reach into traditional churches, but not necessarily do they fit in. So if you're like me, I have visited probably 24 churches and denominations in my lifetime, but I really just follow Jesus. And each church, I want to share, each denomination that I attended, and these were mostly Christian. I have not done Buddhism or anything like that, but Hinduism or anything. But I have been to the Mormon church, the Baptist church, the Open Bible, the Catholic church. And I have found God, the Spirit of God in them. So this is in no way saying you can't find God. When we seek the Lord, we can be found. He is constantly drawing us. So sojourners seek to discover the intersection of faith, politics, and culture. And these believers actively campaign and promote justice through democracy, even in immigration, in our economic system, and they're peace builders, and all through the Word of God. It's all biblical. That's what sojourners do. I mean, a friend of mine and I went for a walk today, and she was like, that's kind of what I feel like the Tower of Babel was all about. God wanted to spread out his remnant. Think about this. If we were all following the same religious system, you wouldn't be able to reach as many lost souls. So we all carry the same Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. As I was preparing this word, I was reminded of the sea monster, the Leviathan, that we learned a great lesson of with Job, didn't we? I keep having the impression, though, that this monster is bumping into the boats that are out at sea. And if you read in the Bible about the sea, it can be calm or it can be crazy roaring, right? And this monster has great strength and ability. So I see it, and it's an impression in my mind, bumping these boats that are floating out at sea. And then I was led to look it up, you know, what this meant in Zechariah chapter 10. And they will all pass through the sea of distress and anxiety with the Lord leading his people at the Red Sea. And he will strike the waves in the sea so that all the depths of the Nile will dry up and the pride of Assyria will be brought down and the scepter of the taskmaster of Egypt will pass away. I feel that this storm or these waves, they're building. And if you have not sought the Lord in the last season, you're gonna be surrendering this season. And this is no condemnation, you guys. This is just how God works. So stay close to Jesus at all time. In fact, there's a new song out, and it's Psalm 91. It's so beautiful. And whenever I feel that the waves starting to come at me, put on worship music. Worship music that really reaches your soul, way down in your belly. Not your stomach, but way down in your belly to calm the waters. Worship is the key. We know worship comes in many forms. I mean, you can be singing, you can be praying, you can be just getting quiet and reading God's word or declaring God's word over your family and praying for protection. This is worship. These are all worship, along with singing. We can't miss this. The sea monster is highly intelligent, you guys, like a orca whale is. If you've done any studies on the whale, it's super curious and playful, but sometimes it approaches the boats just to investigate them and to toy with them. That's how I see the sea monster. So sometimes these waves that are coming at us, they're just testing waves. They're just sort of like to make sure we stay in faith, just like Job. No matter what happened to him, what God took, his circumstances did not change his faith in God. But the other thing he didn't do, you guys, was he didn't ask for help. He didn't ask God. He didn't get vulnerable and say, I need your help, Lord. And when I began meditating on the various types of sea monsters that we could be facing, they could be a new job. They could be a promotion. They could be just training your child on how to listen. Or in my case, training my giant 200-pound Great Dane who won't come when I call him. I mean, the trials, the sea monster, they're the same. Metaphorically, it could be a divorce. It could be just a move. Maybe you need to move from one apartment to a home, or you need to get out of your home, or you have to move in with your mother because she needs help. I mean, the sea monster, it varies for each of us, and God is going to use these sea monsters because the world is godless, and we have to take our eyes off the world and get our eyes on God. And the Spirit of the Lord showed me Abraham. Abraham was, he first was Abram, right? He's the father, or God is exalted, means Abram. And later, the Lord renamed him after his crucified flesh and resurrection. He rose with God. He named him Abraham, the father of many nations. He was a native of Ur, or Mesopotamia, I think is. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, so apologize. He was called by God, Yahweh, to leave his country and to become a founder of a new nation. Can you even imagine? And he's designated land, but at first we don't know what the land is. Later, and we're told it's Canaan. He obeys the call without question, and at the age of 75, proceeds with his barren wife, Sarai, who also gets renamed to Sarah, which means princess, and his nephew Lot, and, you know, other companions. They all move. He is such a faithful man of God. And God repeatedly tells him the promises and the covenant that his seed would inherit the land. And it's similar to us. You know, Abraham had to take Isaac up on the mountain, his only son, and sacrifice him to the Lord. The Lord asked him. Well, in Christianity, the genealogy of Jesus is traced to Isaac and Abraham's near sacrifice of Isaac. It's seen as a foreshadow of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. But what we can learn here is Abraham could see that God had moved him, and this was a planned move. And then God takes him up on the mountain and asks him to sacrifice his only begotten son. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. But God does that with us. We have to surrender everything that we're holding on to. And this is the season of the sea monster. Whatever you're trying to do in your own flesh, whether it be a relationship with a family member or a friend or something in your neighborhood, or maybe it's politics, you're trying in your own strength, just stop. Just put your hands up. Surrender it. The message around Abraham is that his nephew Lot had been taken captive by four kings. And the metaphor here is awesome. So what does Abraham do? He mobilizes 318 men of his camp. And he had trained them, and they were born there, and they were of his household. And he invades the far north, where the tribe of Dan is. And during the night, Abraham strategically divided forces and defeated them. His forces attacked and routed them as far north as Damascus. So there's something going here in Damascus as well. Because Damascus is only 2 miles or 3 miles from Joppa, where miracles happen. And you can read about this, the four kings taking Lot captive in Genesis 14. The kings are not identified, but we can assume an educated guess are the kings that we battle today, which is the kings of our world, finances, the things that take hold of our minds and our hearts and our emotions. These are the kings of our world, whether it's politics, religion, God. These kings were raiding and conquering and making the people like Lot slaves to the fertile land that Abraham was promised. So I'm hoping I'm making this very clear that the four kings that Lot battled were the ones that preyed on his soul and his emotions and his mind. And we have the same issues today. Rebellion of God is a sin. And when we are in rebellion, that's what Lot, he didn't move into Sodom and Gomorrah. He moved just outside so he could see the city. I mean, the symbolism is amazing. So I want to say I wrongly identified my sea monster in my last message as the monster Job battle. But I want to say today, and after the last couple of weeks of the odd things that have been happening around me, the real beast is out in the sea, is found in the book of Revelation. I mean, Lot was just outside the Dead Sea, 34 miles from Jerusalem and 80 miles from Joppa, where miracles were found. You guys, this is our season. We are so close to our destiny and our miracles of healing. Whatever miracle you've been praying for, you did the work last season. And whatever's just bubbling up now, take care of it. Just sit with the Lord and say, I want to enter Joppa. I want to be delivered. I was delivered last year. God said, do you want to have a miracle, Angela? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you believe in miracles? And I said, yes, I do. And then he healed me of my autoimmune disease that I'd had for 16 years, you guys. This is significant. The beast is getting into position as the judge of the sea. This point needs to be made clear to us. Jesus suffered even though he was innocent. We also must be willing to suffer at the hands of the ungodly. I mean, I feel this so strongly that our world is ungodly. We need to surrender everything so that God can protect us. And I don't know what the protection looks like. I just feel this. And the battle to get these messages out, you guys. Seriously, it's crazy. Charles Spurgeon says, if we have been united with him in a death, Christ, we must also consider ourselves dead to sin. If you're still sinning, you're going to have a sea monster in your life. And I don't think before I speak. I see. The Lord has anointed me to see things. And my sea monster is, I speak. I need to shut my mouth. Just zip it, zip it, zip it, zip it. So even in my journey, I still have sea monsters. So it's not something to be condemned for. But God is going to use these things so people will surrender, get on their knees, and he can heal the land. Peter tells us the time is past for living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, lawlessness, idolatry. With respect to this, they were surprised when believers did not join in the same debauchery, misalignment in 1 Peter. He gives an account of who is judged, the living and the dead, 1 Peter 4. I mean, we have to suffer a little in this land. God never said we wouldn't suffer. He said, be holy. He didn't say be happy. But we don't need the trouble, okay? New life in Christ makes us a marvelous change in every single person. What generally happens is the ungodly see it and immediately they begin to persecute. So if you've been, like, all of a sudden people are coming at you, you've been converted. Hallelujah. So just expect opposition. This is the beast out in the sea. So even if you've not seen it before, this is the most amazing thing. I'm pretty optimistic. Okay, my glass is almost full every second of the day. And the Lord is teaching me I can have a full glass, but I need to also live in reality. So I want to share with you, we don't need to be afraid because the Lord is on our side. He has all throughout the Old Testament given us passages about sojourners. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, Psalms 146. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgment, show kindness and mercy to one another, you guys. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Loves the sojourner, you guys. Love the sojourner, therefore you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 10, verse 18 and 19. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice on one another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, God is revealed. God can pour into us. We are no longer empty, and we're filled with gladness. And we can rejoice no matter our circumstances because we know God's working. With gladness and rejoicing will they be led. They will enter into the king's palace. This is Jerusalem. This is our promised land, Psalm 45. If we're full of ourselves, our plans, our opinions, there's no room for the Lord to fill us, right? The supply of oil is dried up when all of the vessels were full, 2 Kings chapter 4. God wants to fill us. He's going to use the sea monster to rid us of our human desires, opinions, emotions that are not aligned with God. We got to stop trying to solve all our circumstances, all our situations, all our relationships. Sometimes we just have to stand back and go, like Moses, put your hands up in the air, straight up. Praise God. It's all, you got this, God. I believe it, and I'm going to stand on this until I receive my miracle. But this takes awareness. For years, the devil had really hidden my flaws to me. I mean, it sounds funny, doesn't it? I could not see, because of the desire to work hard for the Lord, I could not seek the Lord to provide myself with his oil. Leonard Ravenhill, you guys got to read him. He's the cutest. Lord, strengthen me where I am weak and weaken me where I am strong. I should have been like had that branded or tattooed on me. Lord, strengthen me where I am too weak and weaken me where I'm too strong. That's why I was blind in my left eye for a year and a half. That's why he gave me allowed me to have an autoimmune disease. Because I was seriously strong, you guys. Like I had felt no pain. God can't fill us if we're so full of ourselves. His spirit comes into our lives to pour love and service into us so that we can pour into others. That is what the anointing is about. God's anointing. If you're struggling, it's because you're filling yourself with all kinds of things. And I was like the number one person. I could do this really well for myself. This is the principle of the cross. To hear his voice is to be filled or governed by the sea monster, no matter our circumstances. We are praising God, thanking God, because guess what? Once you get on the other side of it, you're like, oh my word, thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you for allowing me to live in a travel trailer for 3.5 years. I couldn't see it at the time, you guys, but that sea monster sifted me hard. Every time the heat comes on, I will never forget the beauty of a furnace or a hot fire. When you live in a cold climate like I do in Idaho, the winters are freaking cold. Living in a travel trailer, it's not comfortable. Once we lay down our own preconceptions and ideas of our circumstances, we've put our flesh to death. And we've taken up the cross. And we're carrying the cross, right? But we're not meant to stay here. This is the part that the church needs to preach. Whew. I feel this. I feel a witness. We have been delegated the authority to rise with Christ, right? Christ is, he's in heaven. Christ is in us. The book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to the seven churches, and we're told the seven churches represent the seven church ages. Or maybe the seven churches describe the spiritual deficits in believers. I mean, either way, we can all learn something from this. The age in which we are supposed to be living in is Laodicean? I don't know. You guys, I'm sorry. I was phonically challenged as a small child. These parishioners, they were rich and had become wealthy, and they had no need of anything. Hama, let's say that sounds like us today, right? But they were wretched, poor, blind, and naked. They had no fear of God. They were lukewarm. The book of Revelation chapter 3 says the Spirit counseled believers to buy gold refined in the fire in order to become rich. In order for our clothes to be garments of white without shame, revealing our nakedness, we must be anointed and poured into by God. And we know we can only be anointed if we're empty. So I just pray that God empties you out, that whatever I'm saying right now is stirring you, because I know there's people out here who are filling their soul with worldly things. And your eyes cannot be open to your own sin. God comes, his spirit comes, and puts salve, goop on our eyes. Or maybe he's going to give you a sea monster. And that sea monster is headed right out to sea. We've got to rid ourselves of pride, apostasy, lack of empathy, the willingness to help others, the willingness to see people in their situations, to have, not to compromise, but to actually be loving. We're told in the book of Hebrews, the successful Christian is one who realizes he is but a pilgrim in this world, looking for a city whose builder and foundation is God. Hebrews 11. I just love that. We must come to accept that we, as followers of Jesus, he's our shepherd, our sojourners, but we're also pilgrims. I used to tease my family and said, you know, we're going to be moving because we're gypsies. But now I actually understand that I am a pilgrim and a sojourner of God. There is no box, no church, no place for me except at the foot of Jesus. We are to keep our hearts on heaven's eternal treasures. Jesus warned us the world's treasures are subject to loss. Therefore, we must store up our treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20. We are told to hold on to God. God, not go to God with open hands. Our hands can't be open waiting for God to place blessings in our hands. We must be like Moses, holding our hands above our heads, both of them, towards God and saying, I give it all to you, Lord. Everything. I surrender it all. Fill me with your spirit. And if we can't do it alone, God sent Aaron to help Moses. In their battle, Aaron holds up Moses' arms because Moses is tired and he's old. So every time Aaron picked up Moses' arms, they were winning the battle. That's why we have to pray for each other. I am praying for every single listener right now. I'm praying that as we hold our hands up in God, every stronghold, every hindrance, every misconception is revealed. Because the truth is really what sets us free, right? And let me remind you, sojourners, they are seated with Christ. We don't put roots down in this world. We reside right next to Christ in heaven. And what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we pray on earth to be released is released in heaven. I love what Mark's point of view. He says God's kingdom comes in power. We have the power. Stop surrendering it to the enemy. John's point of view is launching of the new creation in Genesis. And from Matthew's point of view, it brings Jesus into position for which he was always destined, that of the world's rightful Lord, sending out his followers as kings and priests to call the world to follow him and learn his way of becoming just like Jesus. Luke's point of view, the resurrection is the moment when Israel's Messiah comes into glory. So the repentance for the forgiveness of sins can now be announced all around the world as a way of life, just like in the book of Acts, as they did. So I want to encourage you today. This was a little bit long, but God is moving. Move with him. Don't pray against him. Pray for his will in your life, in your friends, your neighbors. Pray for people you know are not getting prayers. That is the first and number one thing that you can do to protect yourself in this season. This is a season of destiny. Praise God. I bless each and one and every one of you, and I am praying for you as well. Take care. Bye-bye.